Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to The Road to Success. Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. We are entering a fairly disruptive period of time, and I don't mean from the standpoint of the news, but I mean from the standpoint of holidays. We have just gone through, many of us have just gone through Thanksgiving, which is November. Many of us are preparing for Christmas, some Hanukkah, some for other religious reasons. And this can be very disruptive, particularly if we have not developed the discipline necessary to maintain ourselves on the road to success, to survive the holidays. And it is possible to survive them very successfully. It requires some discipline. And let me explain some of what I'm speaking of. Today, there was a young lady on television talking about a disruptive period, which is the holidays. We're talking about December. Lots of things happen. And it is not a malicious thing that we're talking about, because it is part of our normal life. We have led and dealt with disruptions all of our lives during December. But what it was is she is one of the chief advertisers for Peloton, the bicycle, the stationary bicycle that you're on. And while she is a very dynamic person, she is very disciplined as well. We see her riding there, and we sometimes make false assumptions about people. You see her there, and you think that what she has done all of her life is to be a physical trainer. Not that there is anything wrong with being a physical trainer. But we find out in talking with her that for 8 years, she was a corporate attorney. People sometimes find in life in unusual ways. This woman has completed, I believe, 7 marathons. And to those of you that may not be familiar with it, you know it's a long-distance run. It's 26 miles, 385 yards. Comes back from the Greek mythology where a messenger ran that distance to deliver a message. He was running to the city of Marathon, not Marathon, Florida, over, we're talking about over in Greece. But that requires discipline. Now, what she was saying makes a lot of sense, and I hope that you realize the message that was embedded in her comments. 30 for 31. I believe, was the message that she was giving. And that message was to do 30 minutes of active activity a day for 31 days. Why 31 days? Because December has 31 days. The principle can be applied to any month. But what she was saying was get 30 minutes of exercise every day. And it requires a degree of discipline. Now, she's on an early morning show because she was on CBS Mornings. Comes on at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And she was there. She had gotten up this morning. She had done 20 minutes on the Peloton. No problem. She's committed to 30 minutes, which means that sometime during this day, she found an additional 10 minutes to exercise, possibly even more. Now, that's a small amount of exercise to some of us. To others, it's not. I went to the gym today, or I guess it's gym. I go for cardiopulmonary rehab due to health conditions, and I did in excess of 40 minutes. But it's something that I am putting into my schedule. I feel better for doing it. And what we're talking about, we had previously set up some goals. And we see this sometimes as, I can't do it because I don't have the half hour. I don't have the hour. I don't have whatever time commitment I made. That says, and hopefully it's a lesson that can be carried on throughout the year. You're looking at a time involvement. You're looking at a commitment. You're looking at something that is in your best interest. There were a couple of other pearls of wisdom that came out of the show. And when we talk about pace, many times we don't pace ourselves. We want to run as fast as possible, and there's nothing wrong with that. But many of us who are not conditioned sometimes find that difficult to do because we're outrunning ourselves, so to speak. We're putting stress on ourselves. This is why, as I've talked about before, like those plans that have you read the Bible in a year, the Bible in 6 months, I've done both. But I find at some point in time that I am calling words rather than developing an understanding. I'm trying to get my commitment out of the way, which says that I will read for this period of time. They will give me a certain amount of material to read, and I read that. But sometimes I'm doing it without understanding. I prefer a different method. And maybe I want to put a certain amount of time in rather than what I consider as fluff. So what if you read it? Did you understand it? And this can happen with so many things. When I first started doing research like that I'm doing now, I sometimes would see books that said such and such for dummies. I'm not a dummy, and I refused to get that book, but that book was exactly what I meant. It didn't mean that I was dumb, that I had no intellect. It was intended to mean that those people that are brand new into a subject and don't understand it, these are the basic principles that you need. These are the foundation of your knowledge. So as I go through the Bible, I may read something today and need to read it again tomorrow, maybe even the day after. It's not a race that I'm seeking to do, to just run through. I want understanding with that. And this happens so many times on the road to success. We come across a principle. We read it. Sometimes we even think we understand it. But sometimes we have to refer back to it again. Sometimes it's necessary to read it more than once, more than twice, more than three times. Whatever it is, there is a reason for that. You begin to understand it. I want you to understand that many times people or students struggle in school. Now, a student can be any age. We sometimes think of school as being from 6 to 16, 17, 18. If you go to college, it's 20, 21, 22, whatever. But we are basically in school all of our lives. We're learning something. We're perfecting. We're honing the skills, the knowledge that we have. And we need to look at it that way. If you're having difficulty with something, make sure that you understand it. My approach to math is just that. Study the lesson. Study it intently because it's not designed to get easier. We build on the principles that we have. We build that foundation. You've heard me talk about foundations many times. If you are not building on a true foundation, structure that you're building is destined to crumble. We're seeing it now, and we'll see it more in the future. Where some of the large buildings in Florida, on the coast, luxury buildings, are beginning to crumble because the foundation is crumbling. It's the same thing. I'm not a huge fan of fracking because I see that structure that we're putting the pressure on as the foundation. When the foundation crumbles, that which is on it crumbles as well. We see this many times in and around those places. I think there is a better way. What is it? I don't know. If I knew, I'd be rich. But they tell you they're doing one thing, and they have proprietary chemicals that they are using, which are not necessarily in our best interest. We're finding, for example, now that many firefighters are coming down with various forms of cancer, many of them from the military, because they were using a particular foam to fight fires, and it's effective. But they did not look at the long-term consequences of what's going on. And many cancers are formed. They find that the chemicals used in that cause many, many different forms of cancer. Someone has to be on top of this situation. We often accept things as they are, or as people tell us, rather than as they are. And there is detriment in that. I found this out 30 years after I had worked with some hazardous material. The hazards were known, but they were minimized. They were known, but minimized. And so we have to be careful. Some of you, I can see wheels turning now because you're looking and you have ideas on how to make things that we use every day better, safer, more economical. This is where ideas come from. They are originated in the minds of people just like you and I. I will be posting in the future an article on Sheila Johnson, the first black female billionaire in America. Billionaire with a B. And she went through hardship. We sometimes think that on the road to success that you're not going to be subjected to hardship. The difference is how you handle it, how you handle hardships, how you handle the difficulties that arise in your life. She went through a divorce and spent 2 years, two full years trying to determine she was, because she had put so much into the marriage that she had basically lost her way. Some of you may find sparks in the information that I'm taking you. Sometimes unequally yoked people don't belong together. Sometimes it can be worked out, but it requires work. It requires dedication. And I hope that what you're seeing in this discussion is the fact that, and let me point out one thing that she said, which was so significant in my mind, because I had heard it before. I heard it from a race car driver by the name of Wendell Scott. And Wendell Scott was, as far as I know at this point, the only black driver in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. He competed with modest means against people with great financing, heavy financing. It is not a sport for the poor man, except he made it so because he had a determination within himself. He was a mechanic and a good mechanic. And he was determined that when these people bought high-dollar innovations, high-dollar innovations that the Lord could not get them to work, that he could. There's a philosophy there. Some of you may not even understand the words I'm saying now, but I implore you to go back sometimes and listen to the archives of what's being said. He was determined that he could make it work, that he could make it work. In this case, Sheila Jackson Johnson also was determined that she could. She could. Now, what is in common with both of these? One is a billionaire. One is a successful race car driver. They both, Wendell Scott, would come to the point of threatening to physically throw you out of his garage for using the word can't. It can't be done. We can't do it. No, you take that negative stinking thinking out and get out of here because it can't. And this is the same attitude. This is the same spirit that Sheila Johnson used, what she has. She is a partial owner of three professional sports teams, hockey, women's basketball, and I forget what the other one is, the Wizards, Washington Wizards, which she describes as a work in progress. But we're coming up to a point where the Washington Commandos may be up for sale soon. Who knows? She may be the next owner, a partial owner of that. Now, who would expect that that could happen, that that could even happen? It can't if you have this negative thinking. It can't be done. Yes, it can be done. It can be done by you. I have faith in you. This is why I spend the time that I do talking to you. And that is to let you know that you have great capabilities. I will refer to a post that I put up today on AmazingBlackHistory.com. And I started with a question to my Facebook friends. If asked, who was the first black to run on a national ticket in the United States? If you said Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Barack Obama, you're all wrong. Yes, you're wrong. Because the first person to do it on a national ticket was George Edwin Taylor, and he did it in 1904. He had a purpose for doing it, and much of the support that he was promised did not materialize. But he had a plan. He had something that he wanted to do. It's unfortunate, highly unfortunate, that we don't know his story. But you will if you read that post. You will if you read that post, if you watch those videos, if you are desirous of even more information, read the books. We sometimes don't want to go back and read a book because we think that's so high school, so whatever. Do you realize that most people, most leaders are readers? They get their ideas. They modify them. They bend them. They mold them. They make them fit the task. This is what you're being called upon to do. What I did not do earlier in the broadcast is tell you how you can get in contact with us. And many of you are listening on your devices, even your cell phone. If you're listening through the internet connection, I can't see you. I know you're there because I get comments. We get statistics on what's happening. The show is heard around the world. You'd be surprised the countries where you don't think anybody knows English that have listeners to this show and others on Blog Talk Radio. More specifically, Crown Talking Drums. If you have ideas, suggestions, whatever, contact Apostle Armstrong for a discussion, and maybe you could be on with us. But what we do is we find information, and we take the ideas, and we mold them, we fold them, we do whatever is necessary. I want you to understand that you have been given a great idea. But don't think for 1 minute that you are the only person that may have that idea. The way to come out the winner is to develop that idea. Don't sit around. Don't sit on it. Don't take it to the grave with you. Work on it. I was introduced to a very great slogan recently. And we often sit down and won't move forward because we want to be perfect on what we're doing. Perfect on what we are doing. Do we want to be good? Yes, we want to be good. Do we want to be great? Yes. Do we want to be perfect? Yes. Many times that is the wrong thing to do. And let me explain it to you, or let me explain it. Done is better than perfect. Done is better than perfect. You've got it done. It's looking good. But you can go back and you can tweak words and you can do whatever. I found myself sometimes in writing something, going back later, reading it, and saying, no, I ought to change this to that, to find out that if I had finished that sentence, finished that paragraph, that's exactly what I had done. And sometimes I end up changing it back to what I thought needed to be changed in the first place. I hope I didn't lose you on that particular concept, because it's important. Done is better than perfect. Don't sit on your success. When you have something that is acceptable, let's move forward. Yeah, we can always go back. We can polish it. I'm sure that if Shakespeare went back, he would probably change some things on his writings. People are hanging on to his every word. If he had waited until everything was perfect. Now, a lot of these things change because of time when they are written. I remember in junior high school talking about a young lady taking a pill before she went to bed. In those days, a pill was medicine. Pill wasn't necessarily birth control. And so what was an innocent sentence at that point may not be at this point. Sometimes you have to update your ideas. Sometimes you have to update the concepts. But we are capable of doing that. We're very capable. And we need to be aware of it. So check, see if you can hear me. And so this is what is essential. Oh, says the episode ended. The hell? Okay, I think that I'm back on the air. I saw that the dashboard and saw that, yeah, I'm on. You can turn it off. I'm not sure what happened, but we were off the air for a while. I'm going to conclude this because I'm not sure how many people are still with us. I don't know how long it had been disconnected, but we got disconnected for some reason. We will move this to next Thursday because there's a lot of great information that we covered that I want to make sure that you heard, because it's important as we enter this holiday season. Your success is in your hands, not somebody else's. They are there to put stumbling blocks in your way. There are people there that will help you. But you need to be able to determine who's helping and who's hindering. Who's helping, who's hindering. Sometimes that is a very difficult task. And so I want you to get the full benefit of the show. I am looking at the dashboard, and I honestly cannot tell you when the episode stopped. So rather than speaking to empty air, I am going to conclude reluctantly this episode and hope, not hope, I'm going to bring it back to you next week. And we're going to come on loud. We're going to come on strong. You want to be there. You want other people that you can encourage, who may be competitors, may not. But success in this world is dependent upon success of others, because a rising tide floats all boats. We sometimes get so self caught up that we're not interested in other people. Sometimes partnerships are formed, great partnerships. With the fact that we have discovered a significant problem in the broadcast, we're concluding now, and we'll bring it back to you again next Thursday at 7 p.m. My name is John C. Abercrombie. The program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. Every Thursday, 7 p.m., I'm here with you. My friends, be blessed, and I will see you again next week. Sunday, tune in with the same link at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and we're going to talk about one of the men mentioned earlier in the broadcast, and that is George Edwin Taylor, the first black man to run for president of the United States on a national party, and he did it in 1904. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed, and I will see you again next week.